This is the last message in a little mini-series that has developed over the summer of things that we need. We looked first of all at the bridge that we need, and that bridge is Jesus. We looked at the Spirit that we need, the Holy Spirit. And today I want us to look at the church that we need. And basing it on these two passages we've read this morning in Acts chapter 2 and Ephesians 2, but especially verse 19, where Paul says that you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. These three needs are linked. The bridge, Jesus, is linked to the Spirit. And both Jesus and the Spirit are linked to the church. There is a natural flow which should lead us to the church of Jesus Christ. Some people speak highly and warmly about Jesus. Some speak very warmly of the Spirit. But many don't speak warmly of the church, which is sad. The church has not had a particularly good press of late. Everything from child abuse scandals to it being seen as narrow-minded and intolerant. After all, Jesus is perfect and the Spirit is perfect, but the church is not perfect. In the past, many have said, Jesus, yes, but the church, no. But I want to speak today on the fact that we need the church, to preach on the church that we need. I'm not going to preach on the church that we need to be, but on the church that we need. I could exhort us to be a better church, and maybe we'll touch on that. But Acts 2 and Ephesians 2 remind us of the importance of church, that we need church, whatever that church is, we need it, and it needs us. I would argue that just as we need Jesus, and just as we need the Holy Spirit as fundamental to function as human beings in the way that God has designed us to function, I would say that we also need the church. Now, that is a massive claim, and it may almost seem as if I'm elevating the church to the same level as Jesus and the Spirit. But I'm not. We worship Jesus, we worship the Spirit, or through the Spirit, but we do not worship the church, or at least we should not worship the church. But the church is an essential part of how we live out our faith. The Christian faith is not meant to be individualistic, just what suits me. It is corporate. It is elements of relationship and one anotherness and community in it. Part of our problem is that our Western culture has become more and more individualistic. This, in fact, has been encouraged, would you believe, by the Reformation going back all those years ago, 500 years ago. The Reformation emphasized, and it rightly emphasized, the personal element of faith, that we need to ourselves personally trust in Jesus Christ. However, what can happen is that that personal element becomes so highlighted and so pushed to the front that the communal aspect, the corporate aspect, can be played down. The Reformation, I suppose, was also reacting to statements from the Roman Catholic Church, such as, outside the church, meaning the Roman Catholic Church, there is no salvation. And so the Reformation pushed back against this because it was thought it wasn't nuanced enough. There is salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church. But what has happened over the years and also in evangelistic and Protestant circles is that the individual has become more and more elevated over the church. The late David Watson, writing about the church, says this: Protestantism in general has emphasized the individual over the community. Too often the church has been seen as a collection of saved souls rather than as a community of interacting personalities. He goes on to say, every Christian is a witness in the world, but his or her effectiveness depends largely on their sharing in the enabling common life of the church. So the more we relate as church, actually the more impact we have in society and the world. This problem of individualism and consumerism has been further exacerbated by our friend the internet. Where once we just had songs of praise once a week, and maybe even the God Channel, now we have access to sermons around the clock. We have access to Hillsong and Bethel. We can play them all day. We can be part of worship experiences in the United Kingdom, in Australia, in America. And we think we've been to church. But actually, it's just experiencing church second or third hand. We can plug into the preacher that we like. We can just listen to the songs that we like and the prayers that we like. And we think we have experienced church. But we haven't. All we are doing is feeding the individualistic, consumeristic, self-centered values which are rampant in our culture. And therefore, as church, we do not present a counter-culture. I'm not saying that what we get on the internet is bad. I often listen to sermons on the internet. I often listen to songs and worship. But it cannot replace a local, living body of believers. It cannot replace the church. And so what I want us to do today is to see two major reasons why we need church. The first one is that it's biblical, and the second one is that it's good for us. So first of all, it's biblical. Paul here, when he's writing to the Ephesian church, writes about the dividing wall between Jews and non-Jews or Gentiles. And he's saying, now in Christ that wall has been broken down. Now in Christ, God is welcoming all into his kingdom. Where before, under the Old Testament, God used Israel, if you like, as church, as a light shining out to the nations, showing what God is like, trying to be attractive and drawing people to Yahweh. In the New Testament, we find that the walls and the barriers and the boundaries are opened out more. And God says that this gospel, this good news, is not just for the Jews. It's not just for Israel. It's for everyone, wherever you live in this world. You are now no longer foreigners and aliens. You are now fellow citizens with God's people. You are members of God's household. The word church, ecclesia, really means the assembled ones or the gathered ones or the called out ones. So you have here in that word ecclesia the ideas of God drawing people together, calling people out, calling people together to be part of something greater than yourself. Even when you are not meeting together, you are still part of the church. But of course, we should still meet together. In the book of Hebrews, the writer says in chapter 10, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. To be part of a church is to be part of God's family, God's household. In the New Testament, the language of family, home, house, brothers and sisters begins to proliferate. For example, in Galatians 6 and 10, Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to the family of believers. He talks about the saints, plural. He never talks about saint, singular. He's always talking to the church as the saints, together. We also see that this language of brothers and sisters is consistently used. Romans 12 and 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. It is hard to be devoted to one another if you rarely meet one another, talk to one another, share your lives with one another. Church is biblical. When we are called to Christ, we are called to Christ's church. When we surrender our lives to Him, we enter into the household of faith and a whole new set of relationships with brothers and sisters. The sacraments of baptism and communion are for the church. They are meant to be celebrated in context of church, of other believers being present there. When we baptize infants, we emphasize the family and the corporate side of our faith. That faith is connected and nurtured into the church as our spiritual family. I'm sure you're familiar with the old, I think it's an African saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a church to raise a child. This is the way that God has designed it. We need the church. It is biblical. Then the second reason is it's good for us. The church is good for us. And I have six subpoints. Why is the church good for us? Well, it's because we are designed for relationship. Whenever we did our series on being human, we saw that part of being a human being is that we are to relate to God, but we are also to relate to each other. Relationship is in the DNA of a human being. And relationship with our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, is in your DNA once you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. You will not grow as a Christian unless you are folded in to the church family. It is absolutely essential to be planted, if you like, in a church. I find it quite tragic, actually, whenever I come across people who say, well, you know, I'm a believer, and then I ask them, well, what fellowship do you belong to? And I say, well, actually, we don't belong to a fellowship. And I find that so sad and so tragic. Because whenever we have Christ as our head, it means that we should be incorporated into His body in a living, vital, relevant way. It is the way that God has designed it. And if we think that we can grow as a Christian without being planted in a church, we are very much mistaken. You will not grow. You need the church. You need that relationship. I'm convinced that one of the reasons Alpha is so successful is because at the center of it is a meal. There is relationship, there is family, there's the small group. And over those weeks, you begin to get to know those people in that small group, and you become very attached to them. One of the challenges for a large church like ours is not to come across as institutional, but as a family. And so, as someone once said, the bigger you get in terms of a church, the smaller you need to get. The bigger you are as a church, the more important that small groups become. In Acts chapter 2, we find that hundreds of people are coming to faith. And they met in the temple, the big group, but they also broke bread and had fellowship in their homes because both were necessary. Being part of a church makes you healthier physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It means that you relate better generally. It is good for you. The New England Puritans used to call the church building the meeting house. And some Presbyterians today would often refer to the church sanctuary as the meeting house because it's the place where we meet God, but it's also the place where we meet each other. Mark Dever says, in becoming a member of the church, we are grasping hands with each other to know and be known by each other. We need to give up trying to live the Christian life on our own. So the church is good for us because it's good for relationship, for our nurturing and our growing and our spiritual health. Secondly, in the church, we are able to serve one another with our gifts. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, if we have come to the bridge, who is Jesus, if the Spirit has led us to that point, He fills us, and then He says, I have a gift for you. At least one gift. And with that gift, you are to serve the body in which I am now planting you and placing you. Being part of the church means that you have a gift to serve the church. So this morning, if you are here and you profess faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you have a gift to serve this body of people as you see them around you. What is your gift? And you should be asking yourself that question. And we try and help folks as much as possible through various courses that we run through the year. But being part of a church is to serve with a gift. How tragic it is if the Spirit is giving gifts to His church and they're lying unused. It means we're not as healthy as we should be. We serve one another with our gifts. Thirdly, we can reach out to the world better. We can pool our resources. We can run evangelism courses. We can bring in people. We can employ staff. We have made a major investment in staff over the years so that we can reach out into the local community and the Dury Road and so on. And you wouldn't be able to do that unless we were pulling our resources as a Church of Jesus Christ. We're able to help those who are poor in our community through bags of blessing and so on. And we can do so much more because we're joining together. People together are helping others. We can do more together than we can do as individuals. So we can reach out together as we come together as a Church of Jesus Christ. We can do more together than as individuals. Fourthly, church is good for us because it provides an authority and an accountability framework. Whenever Paul, the Apostle Paul, established a church, the first thing that he did was to appoint elders in that church to ensure that it had an authority structure. Because Paul knew that the church is made up of sinful human beings who like to do their own thing. And so he sets up this biblical structure of elders who govern, who oversee, who guide, who lead, who pastor the church. Being part of a church is good for you because you come under the accountability of the eldership. And that is a good thing. We need the wisdom and the direction and the counsel of those who are mature in faith, who make decisions for the good of the church. We can talk about the church as an organism, but it also needs to be an organization. It requires policies and procedures, because it's about human beings as well as spiritual people. Hebrews chapter 13 and 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." Church is good for us. We need church for relationship. We need church to serve one another with our gifts. We need church to reach out better to the world. We need church to come under leadership and accountability. Fifthly, church is needed because we're in the battle. In case you forget, we're at war. We're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus said to his disciples that when they came onto his side, they would find opposition, maybe even hostility and hatred. I have no doubt that part of the hatred of the church today is not because the church is doing anything wrong. It's because it's fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus, that we are being countercultural. We're standing up for the truth of God. And that's why the world hates us. Jesus said this is the way it would be. Indeed, in a sense, if the church is not being countercultural, if everyone is speaking well of the church, there's maybe something wrong. Jesus says, life will get difficult when you follow me. And therefore, you will need each other. The church is like an army. No army sends its soldiers out one by one. They go together. Or if they are going on secret maneuvers, maybe in ones or twos, they have the backup always there. The backup, the resources, the radio connection, they're always there. And so it is with the church. We need the resources, the support, and the backup of one another because it's war out there. And we do not wage war as the world does. Our weapons are the Word of God and prayer. And those are most effective within a church context. When people start to go missing from church, I get concerned because it is a sign that something is not right. Maybe they're running away from church because they're under temptation. Maybe they're running away from church because they're going through a season of suffering. But actually, what you should be doing is running to the church for help and resources and prayer and compassion. And as people run away, as they try and do it alone, they're like lone sheep separated from the flock or the pack, and it's easier for the lion or the wolf to pick off that sheep. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, "Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And so there are casualties today, many casualties. They're being picked off one by one because they're neglecting the church. And then sixthly and finally, in church we grow in love. Together we are able to do the one anothering that we find mentioned in the Bible. 59 times in the Bible it says one another, love one another, forgive one another, help one another. Churches are made up of all different kinds of people with different backgrounds and tastes, interests, and jobs. And we are drawn together with a common love for Jesus Christ. And as His love fills us, His love percolates through the church and out through the pews and out to one another. God calls people into a local family. You may be able to choose the church that you join, whether it's High Kirk or First Ballymena or Green Pastures or the Baptist Church. But once you join and once you are planted in that church, you don't get to choose who your brothers and sisters are. Just like in your natural family, you know, whenever you're a young child, suddenly somebody new has arrived in the scene. You had no say in that. You had no choice in that brother or sister joining your family. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything focused on you. And then suddenly there's this brother or this sister, and they're not as good-looking as you. But part of the family is to love one another. And that love involves sacrifice, as I mentioned earlier. Being involved in a church sometimes involves sacrifice, even to where you sit. But you see, that's part of being a church. That's part of why we have church and why we need church, because it helps us to grow in love. And I'm glad it does. And I thank God for this church and the love that we see every day. Why do we need church? Because church is biblical. Because church is good for us. For relationship, to serve each other with your gift, to reach out to the world for accountability under a Kirk session, in the battle. And you know what? Church will help you to love better.